You're listening to our Dig Deep podcast featuring conservative Chuck Marrone and liberal Aaron Brown. I'm Heidi Holton for KAXE KBXE. Up next, we had a caller who brought up the topic of copper nickel mining and what this international business means to a rural area like northern Minnesota. You can call us at 800-662-5799. It's our live Dig Deep conversation. Joining us from Aiken County is Gord. He's got a question or a comment about copper nickel mining. Gord, thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
Oh, will you turn down your radio?
Okay.
You're listening to the live Dig Deep conversation on KAXE-KBXE, made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.
Turn down your radio.
And the citizens.
Okay, I've got the radio turned down.
All right, you are live, Gord.
Yes, I'm asking about the copper nickel mining. How do you feel about copper nickel mining in an area that's close to the wilderness?
Well, I'll jump at that because I'm the range guy, and as the stereotype goes, it is the most important and only issue we're allowed to think about or talk about on the Mesabi Iron Range and points 50 miles near there. And so what do I think about it? I think that's a very short question with a very complicated answer. We live in a society that uses metals. So I think the prevailing sentiment where I'm from is that, you know, it's kind of like, you know, no one likes to see the hamburger getting made. They want to eat hamburgers, though. And so if you want to use metals, you have to mine it, right? And so that gets us to the political issue of copper nickel mining. And what about its proximity to the wilderness? I don't have a quick answer because I think I don't know enough. And I say this as a person who's covered it and read about it for 15 years now. I don't yet understand, because of the political nature of the discussion, enough about the actual risks to, for instance, the Boundary Waters Canoe area or the Lake Superior watershed and Lake Superior and the Great Lakes. I will say that I have come to the conclusion that we view the minerals as a resource and an exploitable one for economic reasons. I don't know how well we assess the water as a resource and its value to our economy and our future economy. I know that I'm saying things that are triggering probably 8 different calls, but I think that's what we're thinking about when we argue about this issue, is which resources, how do we prioritize our resources? Chuck?
Let me try to answer in my way, because I feel like the rhetoric that we need to get like this mining going and whatever subsidies it takes to handle this and whatever we got to do to get mining going is a real huge distortion of reality. I think on the other hand, the idea that this could never be done without massive environmental destruction, and so therefore like it should never happen, is also a massive distortion. I feel like we have these two like extreme sides that don't make any sense to me. We need to be open to mining, and we need to do this. We also need to recognize that like God put this there millions of years ago, and it's not like it disappears tomorrow if we don't subsidize some company with hundreds of millions of dollars of our like money that could go to other things. This all of a sudden
disappears. Like blueberries that you got to pick while they're on the bush.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like we have the capacity here to do this well. To do this in a way that builds off of our core strengths, that strengthens our economy, that doesn't damage the environment, that is going to mean a slower, more deliberative approach than the way that the people who are like, do it now, subsidize our way to success. But it's going to mean that we actually do it, which is opposite to what a lot of the people are saying, like, never touch this. So I feel like we get pulled into this debate that has no good answers because of the way we frame the question. Are you for or against it? Yeah. You know, like I'm for, I think it needs to happen. I'm against the idea that like, if we don't do it now, some existential thing happens.
And I have a similarly frustrating personal opinion, which is I don't feel that focusing on a copper nickel operation that was a one for the ages, that will hire, you know, let's say several hundred people. The one mine might have 250 to 300. The other mine might have a few less. But let's say the industry brings on 500 permanent jobs. Never, you know, there's obviously construction jobs and ancillary support jobs that go around all that. In the scale of what this region needs to recover itself from the economic troubles of the last 40 years, that's just a small part of it. And it's a continuation of our existing mining industry infrastructure. You know, it'll include a lot of the same people who work for iron mines now will end up working for these other mines if they open. And I'm not against that, but it's not a sustainable economy.
And let me add that if you create those 500 jobs and it's in an ecosystem designed to suck all that capital out of this region as quickly as you can, what good is that?
Right.
It helps 500 people and it gets a bunch of people employed stocking shelves at Walmart. It doesn't create any local wealth. It doesn't make us richer as a region.
We don't own the mine.
No.
We don't own the, there's taxes that are paid, but historically they are lower than they've been at times in the past.
Right.
And even those taxes, it's like, it's just a tiny taste of the action. The action is the money that goes to the investors. So,
When you're mining, you're taking a resource that you cannot get back and basically like shipping it out. Mm-hmm. You're taking like your wealth.
Like selling your fingers.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So the thing is, like, it makes sense to do, but it makes sense to do when it actually builds your wealth. You know, if I'm going to exchange a dollar of wealth in the ground in this region, I want it to create more than a dollar of wealth in the region. If the idea is that I'm going to pull a dollar of wealth out and it's going to create like 5 cents of short-term wealth and then, you know, $2 of long-term liability, we're making ourselves poorer doing this. So I feel like the hastiness of it is where I struggle the most. Mm-hmm. And I respect the environmental concerns, but they're not a hang up for me. I feel like we can do it if we weren't so hasty about it.
And I feel like we need to hug right now, Chuck, because I think we've just arrived at a very similar opinion, I think.
I think Gord is still with us.
Yes, there is a multiplier effect. When you mine, you have multiple jobs that are created beyond the mining jobs. So two or three times as many jobs would be created from the multiplier effect of the mining.
I hear what you're saying, and I hear that economic argument, and I think in a different economy, it makes sense. If those 2 to 3 jobs are like, we're going to mine today, and then the guy with the miner has got a little bit of money so he can go to Walmart and buy foreign-made, you know, imports that are sold by a minimum wage worker here, and then they can also go to Holiday and fill their car up with gas in an automobile that was imported, you know, with insurance that is paid. Is this some broker in Des Moines? It's the lack of the local ecosystem. And what it does is it says that is all going to be short. It's like eating your seed corn. It's a very short-term thing. If we want those multiplier effect to matter, we've got to have a local economic ecosystem to capture that and turn it into local wealth and local productivity. And we don't have that. We do not have that.
It also, again, going into my historical research, I think the range was a little better at capturing more, not certainly the whole amount of the wealth that left the area, when we had a stronger downtown economy that was, you know, people bought their goods and things. You know, it's you know, I think, like, if you talk to car dealers, you know, car dealerships are one of the big indicators of the mining economy, because people buy more vehicles more often when the mines are running hot. And, you know, that used to not just be them, but everybody was a locally owned business. And that's how that was, you know, whether it was groceries or, you know, clothing or whatever it was, that more of that money. Now, like Chuck mentioned, you know, And the other thing that's happened, and this might be a little bit of what Gord's talking about, is a lot of what mines used to do in-house with their own employees are now done by what you would now call vendors. So so there's certain jobs like preparing equipment, you know, building equipment that is used in mining, or you know, even like they don't even have maintenance like janitors at the mines. They hire services, and so those are vendors that go in and clean up the offices and might move stuff around that you wouldn't have your mine labor necessarily doing. So there's some of that has displaced and moved around in the mining economy over the last, you know, 80 years. And I don't want to sound dismissive of how important those jobs are for a lot of people. They are very important, but it's not, you know, the whole economy is the problem, not those jobs. And I think if we paid a little more attention to building the whole economy, that might include mining, might include environmentally conscious mining. To the degree that there's always environmental risk when it comes to mining.
It might transition us to doing some local manufacturing right. related to that mining.
I had a very interesting conversation right. with a friend about all this, and I know we're running out of time. You know, it's can the range become the place where a temporary resource of a mineral in the ground we're able to transition to a more diversified economy while that mineral is still being mined and while mining remains such an important and big part of the economy. I don't know, but that is certainly what I'm trying to advocate for.
If you don't do that, it's just a crop. And once the crop is picked, then move on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We'll continue this conversation. Chuck and Aaron are going to stick around. It'll be available on our website later this week, our podcast-only edition. We thank Gord for calling in and posing that question. This has been Dig Deep on KEXE, KBXE.